You have got to love the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with all sorts of murder and mayhem, blood and guts and gore. Nowhere else do you get the full reality of the human experience as in the Old Testament. That's why it's such a shame that on days like today we have a snippet of a story which leaves us either bored out of our minds or totally lost from the lack of context. Our Old Testament reading opens with the sentence, "The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died." We understand that the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, even though we really may not know what evil it is that they did. But who is Ehud? And what does he matter at all? Ehud was a soldier who was sent on behalf of the Israelites to remove the king of Moab, King Eglon, from his rule so that the Israelites would no longer be under his rule. Ehud removed King Eglon in a very crafty and sneaky way. You should read it. People use all sorts of tactics to do the will of God, especially in the Old Testament. So Ehud, an emissary of God, has gotten rid of King Eglon after the people cried out to God in their distress, and God heard them and sent Ehud to be their rescuer. But even after that, they return to their evil ways. They do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Those folks are fickle. They cry out to God, get what they demand, then go right back to living the way they did before. Does that sound familiar in any way? God, seeing the Israelites are disobedient, even after he has freed them from the Moabite king, allows a Canaanite king to overtake them, King Jabin. Jabin is in charge here, but not for long. There's a woman prophetess. Yes, a woman prophetess, and a powerful one at that. Not only is she a prophetess, she's a judge in Israel, and her name is Deborah. Deborah is such an important judge that she has a tree that is known by her name where she sits and hears the issues that the people bring before her. This is a time in the life of the people before there were kings over Israel. Israel's king is God. No mortal could come close and rule to God. God ruled over Israel at this time. No person. Still, they needed someone to settle the issues that came up, to settle disagreements and mediate arguments, and that was the place of the judge. Perhaps you didn't realize that one of the great judges of Israel was Deborah, a woman. And not only was she known as a great judge, but she was also a prophetess. She spoke on behalf of God to God's people. And not only that, but she was also a great military leader. We hear that she summoned Barak and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you to take position on Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hands. These two sentences give us a whole lot of information, and what follows gives us more. Deborah has summoned a military leader, Barak, and he has come at her summons. Deborah has power. She also speaks to Barak on behalf of God, and he listens. She tells Barak what God wants him to do and what will be accomplished through him. That Canaanite king's army, led by his general Sisera, will be defeated through Barak. What our reading doesn't tell us is that Sisera will be killed at the hands of a woman. This story is very much about women's skill and abilities and the fact that God uses all people, women and men, to further his plan. It doesn't matter what your gender, your skill, your intellect, or any other aspect of who you are. What matters is that you pay attention and follow God's plan, not your own. Back to our story. Barak has been given his orders. Go out with 10,000 soldiers to Mount Tabor. God is with you, and you will overthrow Sisera and his army. Barak went, but before he did, he said this to Deborah, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Barak needs Deborah with him to assure that God's plan will be fulfilled. He's not secure in himself. This is a strange story indeed. Who would have ever thought this was in the Old Testament? A woman directing a man? A man needing military assurance from a woman? Yes, indeed, it's all here. And it gets better or worse, depending on your perspective. Sisera is indeed defeated by a woman, but not by Deborah, by a woman named Jael, who lures him into her tent, gives him a glass of milk, and then hammers a tent peg through his head. This is so good you can't make it up. It makes Law and Order, CSI, and NCIS look like child's play. Jael wasn't arrested. She was heralded as a great woman, as was Deborah. And you may be wondering why on earth any of this matters and what difference it makes to any of us here today. And the answer to that wondering is twofold. First, it's important from time to time to get to know the stories that are in the Old Testament, in our history, to get to know what is really going on, not just the snippets we have in our weekly readings as we track through the books. I highly recommend sitting down and reading the book of Judges in its entirety if you haven't. You may be surprised what you find there. The same is true for all the books of the Old Testament, or at least most of them. Some are difficult to follow because they don't have the same understanding of priorities in writing an account as we do today. The second and more important reason for paying attention to the stories of the Old Testament, just like those of the New Testament, is that each and every one of them point to the relationship between God and God's people, those in the past and us here today. What we discover as we reread and retell these stories is that God is very much involved in people's lives and that God very much wants to be involved and directing our lives. I wonder if Deborah's parents looked at her when she was a tiny infant and knew that she would be a great military leader or a judge or a prophetess. Or did they just merely see a baby girl and wonder if she would be cute or who she would marry? What about Sarah's parents? Did they know that she would be the mother of a great nation? Or Jael? Any clues in her crib that she would take on a general with a tent peg? Left to our own preconceptions of how things should go, these women would not have accomplished very much. This is not about us. It's about God. And when God is involved, all our preconceptions prove to be inadequate. At our 10:30 service today, we will baptize Hazel Wright Wallace and Catherine Sandra Kramer, two tiny little girls, both under 6 months of age. Who knows what God has in mind for Hazel and Kate? Hopefully, it won't involve a tent peg. The world will try to put boundaries on them and limit their potential, but God will not. God has very specific plans for each of these little ones, just as he has very specific plans for each of us. In order for God's plans to come to fruition, Hazel and Kate will need to stay in close contact with God. In order for us to know where God is leading us, we too need to stay in close contact with God. The best way to stay in close contact with God is in prayer and community. Staying in contact with God involves staying in contact with each other, being engaged and involved in each other's lives. Christianity always happens together. As we wonder what stake God has on our lives, it might be helpful to remember that God tends to use those who seem the least likely. So worthiness is a little credit to God. God has a plan for each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, the smallest to the largest, men, women, and children. Listen and see where you're being led. Amen.